Books of the Bible. The book of Isaiah is a collection of prophecies given to Isaiah. It can be divided in two parts. Isaiah delivered bad news to Israel and the surrounding nations concerning God's judgment, and he delivered good news of salvation for those who repent. Isaiah also offers detailed prophecies concerning the coming Messiah who offers eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. Hello. Hey. Well, as long as you're walking this way, can I talk to you on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. I got a question for you.
Okay.
What religion are you?
I don't practice religion actively.
You don't?
I do not.
I couldn't tell from looking at you.
Okay.
There's no way to tell.
Right.
How come you don't practice any religion?
Because I feel like my connection with God doesn't need to come through a church or a synagogue or a temple. It can come through the world around us.
And who is your God?
I mean, how can you possibly define that?
Well, I was just kind of following your cues a little bit. You said that you don't think that in order to commune with God, so I thought maybe you had some sort of a definition for who your God is.
I mean, I would say that God is just a greater being that helps us be better human beings.
Okay. Does he have a name?
No.
Okay. And why does he want us to be better human beings?
I mean, sort of like a parent wants their child to be better.
Okay. And what happens if we're not better?
Like a child, you get disciplined, but God still loves you.
Okay. Is there any ultimate punishment, spanking, penalty for being a naughty child?
I mean, who can really know or say? I don't know. I don't have the right answer to that.
Have you been a naughty child? Or a good child?
Depends on your definition of naughty or good, doesn't it?
What do you think it is?
I think I've been a good child, but I would say that a lot of people would consider... Or not a lot of people, but there are definitely people who would consider that I've been not good.
Let's try the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Are you familiar with those?
Yes.
Thou shalt not lie.
Yep.
Have you done that?
I mean, everybody's told at least a white lie.
Oh.
But
I don't care what color you call it, I agree.
I definitely strive to be honest at all times.
But you failed.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Have you stolen anything in your life?
That's a good question. Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Candy. Money from your parents, downloading music.
I have downloaded music, yeah.
And told your boss you worked 8 hours when it was really 7.5.
No, okay. I haven't done that.
All right, good on you for that. But you've stolen something.
Right.
Okay. How many times do you think that you were naughty as a child to your parents, to your earthly parents?
A good amount. Okay. I was an active...
You were a kid.
Yeah.
Like everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay. How's about purity of thought, your thought life, lusting? Sexual thoughts and desires about somebody you're not married to.
Yeah, I definitely have done that.
You've definitely done that. So,
yes.
Not so much a pure brain.
Right, definitely. But that's a difference that I have with Christianity that I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing.
Okay. All right. You think it's a good thing?
I think it's natural. I think everybody does it.
It could be natural, but that doesn't make it good.
I mean, I don't think it's inherently wrong. I think that there are wrong ways to go about it.
You know what? You know how I learned in a practical way that that's a bad thing?
Sure.
I had daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought of some guy having thoughts like that about my daughter, or my wife for that matter, does not make me happy. I think there's just something about it that, let's face it, we kind of know. That's why we don't share those thoughts. I mean, imagine this. Let's say I put a computer chip behind your ear and recorded every thought that went through your brain for 1 week.
Right.
Then I pulled everybody together and we put that little computer chip into a big projector and we could see all of your thoughts on the big screen.
Right.
What do you think everybody would think about that?
I mean, I think that if you did that to pretty much anybody,
I don't disagree.
Happy.
I agree. No, me too, dude. I agree. It would take a very big screen for my little chip.
Right.
Okay. But yours too, right?
Right.
Okay. So based on that standard, you really haven't been a good child, have you?
Based on the Ten Commandments? No. That's why I said I would say that a bunch of people consider that I haven't. But I don't. I don't believe in the Ten Commandments. So.
Okay. But let's say that the God who created you does believe in the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's kind of irrelevant what we think.
Well, true. But there's no possible way to know. And so he might not care or he might care.
How's about your conscience, that little thing inside of your brain that goes, oh, that wasn't good?
I've definitely done things that I've thought that about, but the key is to strive to not have those things happen a bunch.
Now, let's just say, because we were talking about like a final judgment day or a justice system where naughty children got punished.
Right.
If you would be classified as a naughty child because you've broken God's laws, what would he do with you? Would he reward you or punish you?
I don't know. But either way, I accept responsibility for my life choices because I've actively made them, and that's my, that's how
which
I was raised.
Which is a manly thing to say. But let's just back up for a second.
Okay.
I think we can say what God would do with a naughty child. Wouldn't a God who is a good parent punish and discipline a naughty child? Isn't somebody who's just?
But you can be just, and you can also be forgiving and loving. And
that's interesting. But here's a problem, though. Let's say that there's a judge who's sitting on your court case. No, think of somebody you really don't like, okay?
Yeah.
That guy's really a guilty criminal, bad dude, standing before the judge, and the judge says, look, you are so guilty, and you should be punished, but I'm good, and I'm going to let you go. What would you think about a judge who simply turned his back to justice and let a criminal go?
Okay, there's a difference between a judge doing that and a parent or a God doing that.
I understand, but it's a pretty reasonable analogy. What would you think of
that
judge?
But, like, going back to when I was a kid and I got in trouble, which I did, my parents' punishment wasn't to spank me or to, I don't know, whatever other punishments you could. It was go to your room and sit there and think about what you've done wrong and what you can do to not do that wrong again.
Okay.
And when you're ready to come out of your room and you think you've made peace with your mistake, then you can come out. And so that's a way that I was punished. I was learning from my mistakes,
right.
But I wasn't being harmed or being... They were still showing compassion and forgiveness.
Do you think anybody who breaks the law should ever be punished?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So rapists and murderers?
Yeah, they should definitely be punished.
Okay. Now, if the standard of God goes beyond rape and murder, and let's say his standard is purity of thought and truth coming out of our mouth, so lying and lusting would be crimes before God.
Right.
And he should punish them.
But you're still associating God as a judge, whereas for me, I still associate him as a parent. And so a judge has a duty towards justice. They have to,
but don't you think God does? So God is going to let the rapists and the murderers go?
I think that God, he might punish them, but I don't think he has to send them to a hell or to a...
Well, that's a little bit different, but don't you think it's good that God sees all the crimes that are happening, keeps tabs on it so that someday they aren't going to be cold cases, he's going to deal with them, and they're going to get what they've deserved? Wouldn't that be good?
I think that you're talking about a form of revenge, and I think that revenge is not...
Well, revenge is if you're just angry and spiteful and doing it to get even. But if a crime has been committed, justice demands punishment. All right, now, you were saying that you disagree with the Christian thing because of that, right? There's more to the Christian story than just people going to hell.
I understand that.
What
and I think that there are some extreme truths in the Bible, but I think that reading it as a fact, or reading it as, okay, this is exactly what we have to believe, is not true, because the Bible wasn't written directly by God. It was written by man. And so there is room for error.
God inspired men to write his word down. What does that word say?
The Bible says that God says that, but we, like, I haven't talked to God, so I don't know that that's true.
Okay. So what does the Bible say God did so you don't have to go to hell?
He sent his son to forgive us for his sins.
Because punishment is due to you and me. Justice had to be served. Jesus took the punishment. You've broken God's laws. Jesus paid your fine so that the just judge of all the world can release you, forgive you, set you free because your fine has been paid by Jesus. Here's my last question for you. Is it true that Jesus Christ has died, who came to this earth to die for you, a sinner?
How could I possibly know that? I wasn't alive 2,000 years ago.
Okay. You should figure it out somehow. You're a smart guy. You're studying here at Georgia Tech. Get your sleuthing shoes on and figure this out. Because if what Jesus said is true, there's going to come a day of judgment where he's going to judge you and he'll give you what you've deserved, all right, for the lying and the lusting. And it won't be a good day for you. His judgment will be thorough. Every thought, every deed done in darkness, every word you've ever uttered, everything you failed to do, every time you breathed air and didn't say thank you for using his air, he's going to give you what you purchased for yourself. But it also claims, the Bible says, that Jesus Christ is God himself who died to forgive a sinner like you. Okay? That's what it teaches. Because if this is true right now, you're in big trouble. But if it's true, there's also good news that you can be forgiven. Now, the big question remains, though, is what I'm saying to you true or not? Because if it's not true, go about your merry way. But if it's true, then you're walking around with God's wrath aimed at your noggin.
I mean, I guess that's true, but I think that it's not so black and white as that, because there could be a spectrum.
My challenge
today
is the same. Figure out if it's true, okay?
I mean,
the Bible presents him as a real black and white kind of God. Lusting in your brain is adultery of the heart. It's more than black and white. It's more intense than we can imagine. So if it's true, you're in a world of hurt right now. But forgiveness and mercy is available, because God is kind.
I mean, I find it hard to believe that even you, for example, have never lusted.
Dude. Absolutely. Okay? Bigger sinner than you. But I'm a forgiven sinner, and you're not. Okay, I'm willing. I'll step into the front of the light as the chief of sinners. But I've been forgiven, and you haven't. That's the difference.
That's not necessarily true. I think that God could forgive me whether I go to church or not, whether I believe in Jesus or not, whether I'm Muslim or Jewish.
That doesn't work, because Jesus said that he's the only way. He's the only truth. And all the other world systems are wrong, which is another audacious statement for me to make. So figure out if it's true. Okay?
All right.
Hey, thanks for the chat.
No problem.
Sorry, I'm a little sweaty.
Oh,
see you. Goodbye. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
Conflict. That's not an if in your life. That's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. The question is whether those disagreements turn your home into a war zone or something you can actually resolve. That's what our resource Conflict is all about. Todd Friel, who admits he's an expert in conflict, mostly because he's caused so much of it, and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. They'll walk you through biblical reconciliation step by step so you can actually heal what's been broken. If you're exhausted from the same arguments on repeat, if your home feels more like a battlefield than a refuge, there is a better way, and it's not another self-help technique. It is Scripture. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what's rare? Finding something that makes you laugh and makes you think at the same time. And that's why we brought in Gary Varvel. Gary's an award-winning cartoonist, and every week he draws in an original creation just for Fortis Institute. They're sharp, they're funny, and they usually make a point that sticks with you a little bit longer than you expected it to. And something else you'll find at Fortis Institute is Fortis News, which is hosted by yours truly. These are up-to-the-minute headlines that matter to Christians, and they're told from a biblical worldview. There's no spin, there's no agenda. It's just the news with a Christian perspective. And both of these things, part of what we're building in Fortis Institute, and both are made possible by our gospel partners. If you have been helped and you appreciate the content that we're creating at Fortis Institute, would you consider supporting us so that we can reach more people in more places all over the world? It's really simple. We know you have questions, so we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Should Christians drink? What about tattoos? Is it okay to send your kids to public school, or does homeschool make you holier? And don't even get started on worship styles. That's ended more friendships than Monopoly. Here's the thing. Christians love to argue about stuff the Bible doesn't actually command or forbid. And when we do, we fracture over things that shouldn't divide us. That's where Christian Liberty comes in. It's a teaching series with Todd Friel, Phil Johnson, and Ty Blackburn, all walking you through one of the most neglected and most misused doctrines in all of Scripture. And when you actually understand Christian liberty, you stop majoring on minors. You learn to disagree without dividing, you grow in wisdom and maturity, and have genuine love for other believers who see things a little bit differently than you do. Christian Liberty, it's streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Just download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. The construction continues, and we're talking to pretty much anybody. Have you noticed something that I've just kind of inadvertently been doing, kind of stumbled into it? What I'm asking people is, what religion are you? What religion are you? And nobody's looking at me like, how dare you talk about such a taboo subject? The good news is, said this last week, at least that old canard isn't being used anymore. Well, we can't talk about religion. It isn't an issue at all. You can walk up to pretty much anybody you want to right now and just ask them, okay, is it fireproof? No, it's not perfect. Somebody might go, well, that's kind of personal. Okay, but overall, have we not been hearing something a little bit different? That people are willing to talk about it. So don't be scared of that. People are willing, even with a rather crude introduction like this one. There's a guy walking toward me, and I'm going to test my new little theory here to see if you can just ask somebody what their religion is. Hey, young man, while you're walking, could I walk with you and talk to you on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name?
Kevin.
Kevin, what religion are you?
I'm Catholic.
Could you please tell me why I should become a Catholic? By the way, what's a Catholic doing in the Baptist Bible Belt?
Well, I was born and raised in Michigan.
There you go. You're a transplant Catholic. Yeah. All right, so convert me, would you? Tell me, what must I do to become Catholic and why?
I'm not much of a preacher.
Why are you a Catholic?
It's a mindset. I mean, I believe in God.
Why?
Because we have to be on this earth for some reason. I mean, the purpose of humans is to be, it's not a self-fulfilling life that we live. It's more of a, giving of ourselves to others for a purpose, and I found that in the Catholic faith.
So why should I become a Catholic?
I'm not telling you to be.
I'm asking you.
I don't know. If you feel the same way, as the same things that I just said, then
could I not find that though in Buddhism?
No, you could. I'm not saying Catholic's the right religion. I'm just saying
it works for you.
It works for me.
I'm guessing you're a postmodern. Do you know what that is?
No.
Postmodern is somebody who says something like what you just said. You can believe one thing. I can believe something completely different. They can even be completely opposite, but they're both valid truths because that's what we believe.
Yeah?
Yeah, that would make you a postmodern. That. Okay. So if I made a statement like, I believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, would you agree or disagree with that?
I would have to disagree.
That's what Jesus said.
Well, I mean, some people, different forms of Jesus are in different religions.
The one in the Bible said, I am the way, the truth, the life. That's what he said.
That's the Catholic version.
And that's not the right version?
For me, it is.
All right.
For you, not.
All right. Dude, enjoy your day.
You
see ya. Let's just take that little worldview and apply it to reality, shall we? Try that the next time you stop at the Starbucks and tell them that your truth is that everything's free today. Give that one a run. Boy. I gotta tell you, truly, one of the most clever schemes of the devil has got to be this postmodern mush. Bless this kid right here. Hey, young man, while you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio for just a moment?
I'm fine.
You're fine? Does that mean no? All right. Thank you. That's a better answer. Don't be all mushy. Don't be all namby-pamby. I'm fine. Just let your yes be yes. I might win the Twisted Scripture Award, and your no be no. Let's see if my theory is true, that you can simply just blurt out and ask people what their religion is, like with this fellow right here. Hey, young man, I'll switch directions. Can I ask you a question on the radio?
Sure.
Dude, you need some sunblock on your cheeks. You're getting baked. You know that?
I do.
Dude, you got a voice. You got a sort of kind of that Barry White
Thank
rumbler
you.
Going on. People
Thank
tell you,
you
that, don't they?
They do.
They ask you if you're in radio.
They do.
Have you thought about it?
I have.
Don't do it. Trust
okay.
me. Don't do it.
All right.
What religion are you?
Christian?
Question mark?
I don't know. I have
I have a really different look on religion. I don't really want to identify myself with one thing.
Okay.
But I do want to at least believe that there is a God.
Okay. So who do you think that God is?
No idea.
You wouldn't call it the Christian God?
No.
So then you're probably not a Christian.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that either. See, every religion, or every major religion at least, has some same story with the floods and all the people, and they're all connected in some way, I feel like.
Okay, but if I were, let's say, a Buddhist, but I didn't believe in the teachings of Buddha, you'd go, well, dude, you're not a Buddhist.
Yes.
So you say that you're a Christian, but you don't follow Jesus Christ, right?
Well, no, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
But I thought you said you didn't.
No, I do. I just think that every other religion has their own type of Jesus. Does that make sense?
Okay. How's about Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Okay. Basically claiming every other religious worldview that does not name the name of Jesus Christ, that God-man from Galilee, is wrong. Okay. That's what he said. Do you agree with Jesus?
Then yes. I better start changing my views.
Okay. Why do you suppose he would make such a statement?
I guess I can't really say because I'm not Jesus, but probably because the Ten Commandments, no idols before me.
Very good. Have you kept the commandments?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, we're not all perfect.
I agree with that. How many have you kept?
Most of them. Haven't murdered anyone yet.
Jesus said if you're ever angry with somebody, you're in danger of the judgment, that you're a murderer at heart, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been torqued at somebody driving down the road, flipping them off?
Yes, I have.
So you're a murderer at heart. Lusting makes you an adulterer at heart.
True.
Not worshiping the true God, the only God, and understanding him rightly would make you an idolater.
True.
Have you told lies in your life?
Uh-huh.
Stolen anything?
Not from a store.
We're going to get killed. Move over to the sidewalk. Doesn't matter where you steal it from. Have you stolen anything?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to find a commandment that you've kept here. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I have.
Dishonored your mom and dad when you were a child?
Yes.
Kept the Sabbath holy?
I have kept the Sabbath holy.
So you have honored the Sabbath day the way the Bible expresses it and commands it your entire life?
Not every time.
Alrighty. Coveting, I think that's our last one. Have you ever desired something that didn't belong to you?
I have.
Dude, you broke all 10.
I know it.
Alright, who is the sacrifice as the payment for your sins against God?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ died for you, a sinner.
Yes.
His goodness, he kept all the laws that you couldn't keep.
Mm-hmm.
He was punished by the Father on your behalf.
Yes.
So that your sins could be forgiven.
Correct.
If a man or woman will repent and put their trust in him and him alone, God will forgive all of their sins and cleanse them completely and grant them everlasting life. Correct?
Yes.
Now, when Jesus makes the statement, I am the way, the truth, the life,
mm-hmm.
in that context, does it not make more sense that he would go to the trouble of dying for you, a sinner, as the only sacrifice sufficient to satisfy the wrath of the Father? And when we say, well, it's okay, doesn't matter what you believe in, that would probably make him angry.
Probably so.
Yeah. So you're a Christian?
I am.
And you've repented and put your trust in Jesus and him alone?
I have, but I guess I gotta work on it a little bit, huh?
Depends on what you mean by that. What do you think that means? You gotta work on it.
Probably need to follow my faith a little better.
Why do you think you should?
Well, in all honesty, it's blind faith. You can never prove anything with fact, especially the existence of Christ or God, so it's just blind faith. So if you have the faith, you have it, and if you don't, you don't, I guess.
I don't think it's blind. I think you got a Bible. Eyewitnesses who saw Jesus beaten and killed and rise from the dead.
True, but we can never verify the facts.
Sure you can. You got eyewitness accounts that wrote it down. I don't know what more you need than that.
I mean, eyewitness accounts are only as good as the eyewitnesses themselves, and who's to say that they were even there?
Well, they said it, and in order for them to just make that up, if it weren't true, they would have to have been the most wicked men in the entire world.
That's true.
But there's no evidence of that. Nope. They were men who saw him, saw the miracles, saw him die, saw him rise from the dead, wrote it down so that you could know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and have eternal life. Dude,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start walking the other way, so we're done. But I'm not the judge of your eternity or your heart,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus said that unless you're born again,
mm-hmm.
you will not see the kingdom of God. It basically means you get to the point where you agree.
Mm-hmm.
He exists. It's true. I've been very bad. I haven't kept the commandments. I've broken each and every one of them. And I'm sorry. because I deserve your wrath and I'm sorry, and you turn from them, not in perfection, but with a new attitude, and you put your trust in Jesus and Him alone, mm-hmm. forsaking any other concepts of God. When you do that, when you humble yourself, He says, I will lift you up. I will save you. I will adopt you. I will forgive all of your sins. Then you go about trying harder, if you will, because you're grateful. Mm-hmm. Not to earn your way or to get your way or to keep your way, but because of what He has done for you. The offer of the gospel is an offer of kindness. Mm-hmm. God died to save you, a sinner. Nobody's ever done anything that kind for you.
No.
And so if that's the case, you should repent, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus, and you will happily follow Him all the days of your life because He is good. So, examine yourself, the Bible says. See if you're in the truth. I don't know. Your parents don't know. Your pastor doesn't know. You know if you are really God's child right now.
That was very good.
All right. See you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.